Great is God's faithfulness. Praise God for his amazing provision. And as we think about our next steps with the land sale resources, we'll start tonight by listening to God's word. We'll look at two passages and see three applications. We'll start in Ephesians 3, where we're called to prayerfully depend on God. And I'll start reading in verse 14. Where Paul prays for the Ephesian church, saying, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Now in Scripture, we see a variety of prayer postures, but I'm struck by the image here in verse 14 of bowing our knees before God. So as we steward these land sale proceeds, let's be a church on its knees. It's a posture of reverence and of our dependence on God, setting aside self-agendas and depending on God to lead in and through us as we pray. As I heard Todd say it a few months ago, in ministry, the question, "Can we do it?" is always the wrong question, because there's no right answer. If we answer, "Yes, we can," we depend on our own resources rather than on God's power. And if we answer, "No, we can't," we may not enter into the calling that God has for us. The question, "Can we do it?" has the wrong subject. We. The right subject for our land sale questions is God. For example, a question like, "What is God doing in our midst? And how does he want us to join in?" That kind of question takes us to prayer as we depend on God's leadership as we steward these funds. As Paul prayed here in Ephesians 3 for the church, we need God's Spirit strengthening us. As we struggle against sin and the brokenness of the world, we need God's Spirit working in and through us. As we face an enemy who wants to stir dissension over this money, we need God's Spirit working in and through us. As we lack wisdom of what to do or get too focused on ourselves, we need God's Spirit working in and through us. And we also need Jesus' love. Like verses 17 and 19 say, let's ask God to help us to experience the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of Jesus, a love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to all the fullness of God. As with any relationship, growing with God takes time. So let's be a church on its knees, taking that time to experience God's empowerment and his love in prayer. Over the rest of 2017, that's the main focus for our land sale proceeds. Praying on our own, in small groups and ministries, on Sunday mornings, and together here on special prayer meetings monthly. The first one is this Tuesday from 6:30 to 7:30 in the church coffee shop. So come join us if you can. The only other plans here in 2017 are to refresh a few things around the building that look poor, like the carpet upstairs, and to upgrade a few things we think will enhance the ministry, like an expanded church kitchen behind the coffee shop. I share these building updates because the elders want you to be informed, but please don't lose sight of the true emphasis here on prayer. Look around you. You're surrounded by people filled with God's Spirit. So let's together be a church on its knees. To paraphrase a quote from Pastor A.C. Dixon, when we rely upon organization, we get what organization can do. When we rely upon education, we get what education can do. When we rely upon eloquence, We get what eloquence can do. When we rely upon money, we get what money can do. But when we rely on prayer, we get what God can do. And as Paul says in verse 20, we are praying to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all we ask or even think. So Northwest, let's be a church on its knees. Our second application is there in chapter 4 of Ephesians, starting in verse 1, which says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Verse 1 urges us to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. Chapters 1 through 3 of Ephesians describe our calling as being blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, adopted as children, redeemed and forgiven by God, reconciled to one another, given hope and a glorious inheritance, able to boldly ask God to fill us with his empowerment and love. And as Paul transitions here in chapter 4 to living out our amazing calling, he starts with our unity. Verse 3 says, to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. And that's our second application, to be a church walking in unity. And if we live out verse 2, we'll walk in unity. For verse 2 invites us to relate with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Now, I don't think this will come as a surprise, but we haven't even received the money yet, and I've already heard a variety of opinions on stewarding it. Now, to be clear, the ideas have been God-honoring and communicated in a good way, so way to go. But we do have an enemy who would love to see us squander this money and grow divided over it. And it's still a victory for him if we invest the money well, yet go about it in an ungodly way, like a family disputing over an inheritance. Imagine one person is excited about more people taking steps with Jesus here, next steps. And so they suggest we fund ministry initiatives, hire additional staff, and expand our facility so that we can do more evangelism, discipleship, and justice ministry locally here in San Antonio. Imagine that person in conversation with someone passionate about reaching unreached people groups. They think we should give all the money to missionaries, pioneering among tribes overseas and translating the Bible into new languages. Both are completely fine ideas that could be done in God-honoring ways that advance his kingdom. But Satan would love to twist that conversation into one where each thinks their ideas are not only better, but more godly. A conversation where each person's word choice, tone, and posture grow a little hostile as each takes it a little too personally when the other isn't convinced of their ideas. And if enough of these kinds of conversations take place, we could be tempted to place everyone here into the ungodly categories of either allies or competitors. Verse 2 invites us to a much better way, engaging that conversation with all humility, each open to the possibility that maybe my idea isn't best, or maybe it's great, but it's just not the direction God ends up leading our church. Each open to the reality that when we humbly listen to each other's ideas, that what God often brings about is better than the thoughts of any one individual. I've seen that happen many times here on teams I've been a part of at Northwest. And verse 2 not only calls us to all humility, but to all gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love. Isn't that how we want to be received as we share our thoughts on the land sale? I'm reading currently Pastor Eugene Peterson's memoir, and he tells the story of asking his girlfriend's father for permission to marry Jan. Peterson is nervous. He's stumbling over his words, and Jan's dad puts his hand on Peterson's shoulder and says, "Eugene, you don't have to go through with this. Let's get a cup of coffee." Peterson goes on to say, "He rescued me. An act of hospitality. I never did have to ask him. Over coffee, we were able to have an easy conversation in which he gave both permission and blessing. No interrogation, no conditions. Welcome to the family." Wouldn't it be great to experience that kind of relating, this kind of spirit, as we discuss the land sale? After all, we're family too, brothers and sisters of our Heavenly Father. So let's walk in unity. Listen to all the ones in verses 4 to 6 that remind us of our unity. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. What we share in Jesus is inestimably greater than any differences of opinion about spending the proceeds. And it's greater than how each of us anticipate God working through the decision-making process, whether that's in an obvious, direct sort of way, or through a consensus emerging over time as we pray and fast and talk through things, or something else. Walking in unity isn't easy. And that's why we started talking about being a church on its knees. For as we experience the Spirit's empowerment and Christ's incomparable love, we'll have hearts filled with love for our brother or sister, even if they express their disagreement with us in an unkind way. So let's start on our knees, walk together in unity, and finally steward to hear well done. For this application, we'll turn to Matthew 25. Here Jesus talks about how we should prepare for his return. He tells the parable of the talents to encourage us to be faithful stewards as we prepare for his return. So we're going to read starting in verse 14 of Matthew 25, where Jesus says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.'" Like the servants in the story, Jesus entrusts us with things to steward. Now, everything we have is ultimately from Jesus. But as we heard that land sale story from Todd, it sure feels like this land sale proceeds is a 5-talent stewardship straight from the hands of Jesus. So to be clear, the land sale money isn't ours, it is Jesus's. Not, well, 10% of it's Jesus's, and we can do whatever we want with the rest. Or not, well, this land sale money can fund our current budget for 5 years, so let's scale back our giving or stop giving altogether. Those are not the thoughts of a steward or the kind of a church that God delights to make a God-sized impact through. Rather, let's keep remembering that all of this land sale money is Jesus's. And our master has graciously entrusted it to us so that we can participate in his kingdom work. And so we think good stewardship views the land sale money as separate from our general fund. In other words, we're not counting on this money to pay the utility bill or current ministry expenses. Rather, we view this as a new stewardship from Jesus, an amazing, likely once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to make an impact that lasts for decades here at Northwest and around the world, all the way into eternity, for God's glory. Who knows how many we might see start life-changing, eternity-changing relationships with Jesus? How many marriages might be saved? How many hurts, hang-ups, and addictions overcome? How many under-resourced people resourced with what they need? How many missionaries equipped? How many more language services or church plants could launch? How racial divisions could be healed? How many people here could grow into disciples who keep taking next steps with Jesus and helping others take next steps with Jesus? The people impacted growing and growing on a multiplication basis. I find it interesting that the two good servants in the story didn't just place their talents in the bank, but that their stewardship included them working to multiply their talents. And so as we seek God on how to steward these proceeds, there's a very good chance that some of us are going to need to deploy our gifts in fresh ways as we deploy these funds to help more people take next steps with Jesus. Jesus is so gracious. He did all the work to save us, and then he gives us his talents so that we can work with him to bless people. And then he wants to celebrate his victory with us as he tells us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Think of it. Jesus himself celebrating with his bride here at Northwest, and then rewarding us beyond our wildest dreams for serving him. Even though he's the one who rescued us from our sins, and he's the one who gave us the talents, and he's the one who gave us the Spirit to empower us in the first place. What a Savior. So let's be a church seeking to steward, to hear, "Well done." On that day, when we, the people of Northwest, are before Jesus, Lord, have mercy if we're trying to explain why we thought depending on our wisdom, strategies, and this money was a better idea than depending on him prayerfully. God forbid that we'd be trying to explain how the church eventually split after arguing and bickering over these funds. Or trying to explain how we squandered or selfishly used the funds, having lost sight of our master's interests. Rather, may we be a church on its knees, walking in unity, and stewarding to hear, "Well done." A church able to fully enter into the indescribable joy of Jesus himself, and then rewarded out of his limitless riches. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you enough for loving us to come on that rescue mission for us when we were doing nothing at all to move towards you or moving away from you in rebellion against you, and yet you came. And you not only saved us, you gave us talents to steward, you've given us your Spirit to work through us, you've given us your Word, you've given us each other to help one another. Lord, you have given us hope, a glorious inheritance. We are blessed beyond compare. You've done so much to set us free. And so as your Spirit works in our hearts and minds, may we be stirred up day by day to have a just deep, growing heart desire to steward these funds in all of our lives well before you, for your glory, Lord. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.